Indeed. Thank you, Steve. Glad to have you joining us this morning. Merry Christmas, everyone. And I don't know what to tell you about the lights. We'll just have to endure as those go on. Steve, I was going to tell you, I forgot to warn you that over the Christmas season, we tried to do all the carols that are our favorites, but we missed the mathematician's carol. Angles We Have Heard on High. Next year. It is an interesting morning for a number of reasons. The lights are going to be coming on and off for reasons only God knows. And the snow outside was beautiful. We are out of drought, amen? And we are celebrating this Sunday, sort of what we were going to celebrate last Sunday. So you see that we have special offering envelopes. All right. Other announcements. Paya, what do we have going on in the church that we need to tell all the peoples about?
Lights are sparkling.
What did she say? The lights are?
Lights are sparkling.
Oops, now they're dead. Whoops. Back on again.
All right. Debbie Gunther is standing up. I have a feeling she's going to remind us that on the 30th we have a date with fate.
Yes, the 30th is the first crop fundraiser for this year. It's at Applebee's, and it's at the Applebee's on Havana, at the, what's it called, Garden on Havana. It's from 11 to closing. Right. And yeah, actually, I have some in the car. I'll get them for afterwards.
Okay. So we do need the certificates to show them and let them know. All right. Do any of you eat ever? So this is an easy one to do. You know, we can fit in there. Thank you. Thank you for that. Other things for the good of the order? I'm not sure that I see any others. I have to share with you a couple of people who sent me emails this week, and if you're in Hawaii, don't send me an email right now, please. Especially with a picture. I won't mention any names, Holly Armstrong, but I would, you know, just celebrations that you're able to go and do that, and I'm glad for the snow and the ability to do something with it. Thank you for Melba. She helped do some of the clearing of snow this morning, and so God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. Rich Schneer is in another warm place. It is not Hawaii, but it is warmer than this, so we wish them well. If those lights keep doing that, do you want to just turn all the lights off and see what it looks like? Let's hear a vote. Leave the lights on, show of hands. Leave the lights off, show of hands. Okay, nobody really gives, nobody, okay. Actually, all right, turn them all off. See what it looks like, Ellen. Michael, turn. Okay, that doesn't look too bad, does it? Can you still see me all right? I'm over here in the dark. All right. All right. Well, good morning to you all and celebrations. Let's get started. Stand and wave hello. Wave hello to one another. Stand up for a call to worship. Join me, if you will, in a call to worship as you see it on the screen or in your bulletin. Come, brothers and sisters in Christ. Join me in worshiping our great, loving God Almighty. We join as one family, red and white, brown, black, and white, male and female, young and old. Let us join together in following Christ, the teacher who shows us the right path. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I invite you to remain standing for the hymn.
Clear the chaos and the clutter. Clear
to show the sun, raising courage when we're shrinking, finding scope for faith to come. In the spirit, let us travel, open to each other's pain. Dreaming, there's a time for hearts to care. In the spirit, lively scheming, there is always room to spare.
Please be seated. This is kind of fun with the lights down. It reminds me of Christmas Eve just a little bit, doesn't it? Does it remind any? If the sun comes out, it'll change and it'll be a different day. But for now, let's do that. The one downside is it's a little dark up here on the pulpit. So if I make any mistakes, let's blame it on that. I say blame it on that. It may not be the reason. Our scripture is from the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. Hear these words. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be called a beautiful crown in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we turn to our prayer time, we ask that you will lift those prayers of concern. On the back of the bulletin, you see a number of our concerns. We received word that Will Morris has terminal glioblastoma cancer, 6 months to a year. So he wanted to lift that in prayer, and we should. If you did not know Will, he was a pastor here. How many years? 9 years. Good long tenure. Retired, living in Cortez, as I understand it. But prayers for Will. Other concerns, other things that we want to lift this morning as we are gathering and as we are in the midst of our time of prayer. I don't see any other. Maybe that's good news. Paya, please.
I'm asking for prayers for schools. This week, Siosiana shared with us that SAMU School sent out a letter that there are families who are concerned with this whole immigration issue that's going on. So please pray for peace and understanding for all those families.
Thank you, Paya. Yeah. Concern for families worried about immigration issues and all the turmoil that's involved. Michael, yes. Carol Danielson, please.
Well, my daughter Amy's still trying to get well. Her virus went into her ear, I guess, and they put her on prednisone, and she had an MRI on her ear Friday, so we'll find out later on what's happening there because she couldn't hear out of it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Prayers for Amy. Thank you. I hesitantly lift prayers of celebration that maybe peace in Gaza. Right now, there's a ceasefire in effect. Some of the people who were kidnapped have been repatriated, some of them. And maybe we can move toward healing. God grant it be so. God grant it be so. I hope our prayers will lead to that. Others, other prayers, other celebrations, concerns. By way of celebrations, we missed a couple. Last week, let's see, on the 19th, Sue Anderchin had a birthday on the 19th. Christopher Freeman Bartow had a birthday on the 20th. Charlotte Burns had a birthday on the 20th. Did you guys celebrate her birthday? Joe, did you celebrate Carlotta's birthday? Good, good, good. This coming week, Jane Barber has a birthday on the 31st. Eliana Neal has a birthday on the 1st of February. Is it really that close? Is it almost February? Come on, spring. Those are the only ones I'm aware of. Do you have other concerns or celebrations and other things you want to lift? All right. Seeing none, let's turn to our unison prayer and let us read responsively. God calls to all who languish in separation from the holy. God does not give up on us even when we turn away and fail to respond to the care and leadership God provides. O God of light, we welcome the light that shines into the dark night of our souls. You gave us Christ, the true light, who grants us power to become children of God. May the words of Scripture put us in touch with the Word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Open our lives to receive the wisdom and revelation Christ offers to us. So refresh us with your grace and truth that we might find comfort and consolation, new hope and purpose in each day's tasks. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation. Loving Lord God, as you are with us each moment of each day, in each change that comes on each new morning and through the darkness of every night, you are present with us. You are caring for us. You are listening to our prayers. And you are guiding us. We ask your guidance in the world and in our nation. We ask that you become stronger in all minds and especially in all hearts, that as we are about a world, that we are about a world of compassion and care. Care for all peoples of all nations, of all colors, of all genders, of all creeds, of all division. Lord, unify us in you. You sent Christ into the world to be with us, to guide us, to show us the true path. Help us travel that same path as nearly as we are able. Pull us forward and move us toward faithfulness. And through your grace, guide us and still our hearts. Direct our minds and our energies, our resources and our love and our care, that we might be your disciples. Lord God, as we come, we've shared some of our prayers aloud. We continue prayers that we list each week, and you have You have heard all of those prayers. You also hear those prayers shared in the dark of the night from individuals, from each of us, private prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your attentiveness to us. Thank you for answering the prayers that follow your will. And thank you for letting us know that our will is not your will. Lord God, we come. We gather with peoples around the nation. We gather with peoples of all different varieties, all of your children here. And we gather to be with you, present. We gather that we might open our hearts and minds to each other. And we gather that we might share together our worship. Hear us, Lord, as we gather together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to hear the offertory that Stephen has prepared for us this morning, do take a moment, if you are able, to give to our special Sunday. The works that are being done through this special offering are those of care for all people, cares for bringing about growth and unity and love of community by the United Methodist Church, both locally and internationally. So we ask you give generously, and we ask that you support the church as you have been and continue to do with your regular offering. The offering plates are in the back. We don't pass them. Haven't passed them since 2022. One of these days we're going to surprise everybody and pass them, see if we can remember how that works, but we shall see. Anyway, Stephen, please. I tell you what, wow. Our gospel lesson. This is from the Gospel of John. If you are capable and comfortable standing, we ask you to do so that we might honor the gospel
and focus our attention on hearing the word. Listen to John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone jars of the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated if your legs are given out. Otherwise, stand, remain standing if you will. Haley and Stephanie are going to come and lead us in the VBS song. It is called "Take My Life and Let It Be." We might have heard that title somewhere. Have we heard that before? All right. Job, you too. Michael, we're going to switch to, be seated, please. Please sit down. I'm going to switch to the lavalier, Michael. Theoretically, this microphone is still popping up. I got a puff shield. I don't know what else they're called, poofs. But it doesn't seem to be working as well as I would like. Can you hear me now? And it's not going ka-thump, ka-thump. What else can go wrong this morning? Don't ask. Don't ask. Let's not go down that road. We are we're ringing just a little bit too hot, Michael, but we'll, all right, we'll get there. We'll get there. Our sermon title is Quietly, and Pia and I are going to psychically work the slides and merge them with the sermon. We'll see how well that works, but let's follow along if we can. This is John talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it's the wedding in Cana. We've heard the story. How many of you have heard it this morning for the first time? Yeah, I was going to say, all right. So it's a traditional one, and we've heard about this, and it is declared as Jesus' first public miracle, and that's why it's this time of year that we lifted. It was actually two or three Sundays ago, but we're getting there. We're getting caught up. We'll see how we get there. Intriguingly, if you listen carefully to the text, the mother of Jesus is present. John never refers to her as Mary, just the mother of Jesus. We don't know why. We don't know what that's all about, whether that had some connection somewhere with that. But we all understand, and we know what's going on. There are jars for this particular gathering, and they say there are 6 jars, each 20 to 30 gallons. And I had to stop and think about that. They're stone jars, and I'm sure they're not made out of real stone. I'm sure they're pottery, aren't they? I mean, who knows their ancient pottery stuff? Not me necessarily. At any rate, they're supposed to hold 20 to 30 gallons each. So at 20 gallons, they'd weigh 160 pounds each. That's an awful lot. So I don't know what happened there for the translational variances, that this sounds like some pretty big jars, some pretty big urns. Doesn't matter. But they specify this, they talk about it, and here it is. I had always assumed that the jars held the water for foot washing. But as I was reading and studying, scholars say no, it was for ritual hand washing. Now I don't know how many of you know, since 2022. How many of you wash your hands a lot more than you used to? The bishop actually did a video for Bishop Karen Oliveto on how to wash. And what were we supposed to sing? Happy birthday? Something like that, so that to demonstrate that we wash long enough. At any rate, this would have been water for hand washing, not foot washing. I don't know that that makes any difference at all. And this is the first public miracle, except, did you see the text? When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn it knew, it isn't really public at all. In fact, the wedding guests don't know. The bride and the groom don't know. The chief steward doesn't know. The servants know, and we will discover in the last verse that the disciples believed in him, so perhaps they were aware of what happened. Is Mary, the mother of Jesus, is she aware? It's unclear. I assume so. She was one of those gathered disciples. It's irrelevant, doesn't matter, except that it was not a public event. It wasn't something that was done on a grand stage and to show off and to amaze everyone at the wedding. It would have been a good place to do that, wouldn't it? Let's prove. Let's do this in front of everyone. What a great PR event. But it was not. It was not a miracle to amaze. It is a miracle because Jesus is caring for others. This is God's will, is to care for one another. And Jesus is doing that, not to prove anything, not to build his acclaim or increase his number of followers. Jesus is caring for the wedding party. Care. care of others, care without even being aware. And Christianity, ideally, would be a gathering of people who love one another. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? That's the commandment. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it's not something that's passed on by teaching and rote. It's communicated life, by love, heart to heart. It's an interesting phenomenon. You want to think about that. You know, I tell a joke, or try to, at the beginning of every worship service. They're mostly dad jokes, I admit, and a lot of them are groaners. That's the way that goes. It's hard to come up. If you want to try and come up with 52 really good jokes, call me. I'd be ready. But humor has always been a part of my life, and I have to tell you a story. In my earlier life, I worked for the city of Grand Junction in the engineering department and the public works. I was a civil engineering draftsman and cartographer, loved it, absolutely loved the job. It was exciting, did all kinds of fun stuff, got to work with the fire department, test flowing fire hydrants. What is more fun than going out and turning on a fire hydrant and just getting spraying? Summertime, it was just a delightful thing to do. Had a great time. And I had so much fun, apparently it showed, I was awarded the award for City Employee of the Month. Yeah, you can applaud that, and you don't have to. 450, 500 people as the employees, so I was kind of, you know, humble about it, but it was kind of a nice accolade there. And the next month, here's my sense of humor, the next month I was laid off. It was a budget shortfall. The oil shale industry, if you know the Western Slope, has gone through cycles of oil shale. Then this was the third cycle, and the oil shale industry had collapsed. One out of every five houses was for sale. The economy was gone. The tax base was gone. There was no money to pay for all the people in the city, and they said the last person hired must be removed from every department. So they called me in. It came out of the blue. I had no idea it was coming. Called me in, and with me and an engineer and an inspector and each of us, and said, sorry, you've got 1 month and then you're gone. Well, it's all about budget. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. But man, it knocked the pins right out from underneath me. Is this still on, Michael? Yeah, let's turn that one off, because that's the one that's booming. Testing, 1, 2, 3. And so technically, with the poof, it's not supposed to be booming either, but I'm making fun noises here. Am I having fun? We'll keep working on that. All right. At any rate, so I was pretty well devastated. I mean, family of six of us, I was the only breadwinner, and all of a sudden, I'm out of work. And the economy, there were no other jobs in Grand Junction. So we had to uproot and leave family and leave grandparents and everything and move. It was going to be a hard time. But after we were told that we were getting cut off, I went back and sat down at my desk, and I must have been white. Or at least it showed that I had taken a blow. City engineer Jim Bragdon came out and he just did one of these to me. I didn't know what was up, but I followed him into his office and he sat me down, closed the door, gave me a minute to compose myself, and he said, what can I do to help? He says, other than money, he said, what do you need? And I said, well, you just went right over the big one. How am I going to feed my family? And in reality, there wasn't much he could do, but he did the most important thing, didn't he? He offered moral support. He offered heart-to-heart care for the travail that I was enduring. He reached out to me in a meaningful way. It kind of surprised me. I didn't know him all that way. We worked together, but we weren't personal friends or anything. But I've never forgotten that event, and it meant a lot to me. Years later, I discovered that he is an active member of the United Methodist Church in Grand Junction, First United Methodist Church. He didn't say that, he didn't preach at us, he didn't tell us that, but out of his commitment to love one another, he did what we're supposed to do. He reached out and offered me care, offered me heart. And is that what Isaiah was talking about in that first passage? He said, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines. We can't keep silent. We have to stand there. We have to be those people that we are called to be. Now, it amazed me to discover years later and grin to find out he was a member of the church there, the United Methodist Church. But it would not have mattered if he was a member of a church or not, would it? That care that he exhibited was not church-related. It was care-related. It was person-to-person love of one another. And that can be done without being in a church. And that can be done without being religious. There is a movement afoot now in our nation where churches are declining. Have you noticed that? And some people will say, well, I believe, but I am not religious. I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but it's okay if we're doing what Christ calls us to do, love one another. There was a point in time the disciples were out there and somebody is preaching things and they're offended because they're using the same caring words that Jesus is using, and they complain to Jesus, and he says, whoever is not against us is for us. You don't have to be one of the disciples. You don't have to belong to this denomination or that denomination or have this set of credentials or have these particular ceremonial certificates if we are about loving one another. Now, you might have heard this thing called the kingdom of God. Have any of you ever heard that phrase, the kingdom of God? And if we stopped right now and I handed out papers and said, would you define the kingdom of God? Would that be easy to do? In seminary, theology class, we had to define things. And that's a hard one to define when you get down to it. What is the kingdom of God? What does that mean? What's that about? And does it mean it's churches? Generally, when we think about the kingdom of God, it's church and how things work and how the church would be informing how we are in society, but not as a theocracy. Iran is a theocracy. The grand Ayatollah is the head of the religion and the head of the nation both. And the nation's laws and all that they do is guided by their adherence to their religion. That theocracy is what the Roman Catholic Church was in the Middle Ages. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about unknown acts of kindness. It's about kind things being done. And the number of nice, kind things that are being done, unknown. Think about that a minute. Think about notoriety and faith are not connected. Just think about that for a second. And caring and notoriety are not connected. Doing something nice for someone to be seen may not be part of the kingdom of God. But caring for one another out of heart, out of because we know that's what God has called us to do, and because we know it's the right thing to do, and because in connecting with others we all grow, now we're beginning to see the glimmer of that kingdom of God. Caring for one another. What does that look like? I always try and come up with graphics for my PowerPoint presentations when I do them. And I said, all right, here, I want a graphic, a picture of Christian caring. You know, there were not very many that weren't related to other things. And maybe that's all right, because caring for one another is a thing that is not noted, isn't tied to notoriety. Can we care for other people and maybe they don't even know it? Years ago, for Easter morning, the kids and I and their mom, we made Easter baskets. We lived back to back with a assisted living place. And on Easter morning, we got up early and went and put Easter baskets on various doorsteps. Didn't say who it was from, just an Easter basket. And it was fascinating to watch people come out, and they'd see the Easter basket, and then they'd look around to see who it was, and they'd look for a tag or note. And they'd look, and they'd sit there, and some of them would even scratch their head. And then they'd take the Easter basket in. It was fun to watch. It wasn't necessary. And it was important to us, at least, that they didn't know who we were. We did it because we wanted to do something nice for them. And that's beginning that journey of caring for one another. Those were easy people to care for. They were right next to us. They were neighbors. Is it possible for us to care in the same way to people we don't know, that we will never meet, that we will never be able to say, we helped you, and they will never be able to say thank you? And isn't that care just as important, if not more so? Notoriety and caring are not connected. Coming from the heart is what that's about. So this is Human Relations Sunday, and as we are about this and caring for one another, we are about being in the middle of hearing and understanding and allowing our hearts to be inflamed by Jesus Christ. And by being inflamed, not to go out and convert others, but simply to do the same loving that he did. How often did Jesus do something for someone else and then say, don't tell anybody about this? Keep this quiet. And of course, they never did. Maybe there were other incidents that we don't know about that he did do. Amen? So that is part of the dream of the kingdom of God. This was supposed to be last Sunday's sermon, and as a part of that, we were celebrating Martin Luther King. How many of you got a chance to march in the parade? It was so cold out there. I see all of you still have all your limbs and nose and ears, so I assume none of you did, but it was cold. But at any rate, Martin Luther King, and it is part of the tradition, and at least one that I enjoy, to be able to just take a snippet of Dr. King's speech. So if you will, just my favorite part. This is the speech he gave from the Lincoln Memorial, August the 28th, 1963. He said, I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. How are we doing on that? Are we getting closer? Are we gaining? Are we coming closer to that dream of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King? Let's hope so. In this age, when there is a distrust of churches, there is a diminishing of churches and religious peoples, we are still about being in the midst of offering the kingdom of God. And I hope that we can do that. Can we be about being
those who love one another in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with just something I want to do just for fun. How many of you know who Harry Belafonte is? He's going to sing a little piece for us. Please, Paya, Michael.
Ooh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Everybody. Oh, freedom.
Thank you, Michael. We will, I hope, that you'll hear a little bit of the gospel in there and the man filled with Christ and sharing and loving and caring. Amen? Let's stand. Diana, I'm going to ask you to come up, and you and Stephen, he's gone across the lakeshore to the other side, so he's going to lead us. 344, stand if you will, please.
That's 399.
Do what?
It's number 399.
Ah, I got it wrong. Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only asked me to follow humbly. Oh, Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling, have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas. You know so well my possessions. My boat carries no gold and no weapons. You will find there my nets and labor. Oh, Lord,
all right.
In your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline beside me. By your side, I will seek other seas. Let's do this one together.
My hands full of caring, no more labors to give others rest, and constant love that keeps on loving.
Oh Lord, by your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas. You have fished other oceans, ever longing for my souls who are waiting. My loving friend, as such you call me. Amen, amen. Did you notice that song is a little, it's interesting, the lyrics and the pace are not exactly perfect. It was written in Spanish. We're reading the English translation of this. Pretty neat, huh? Pretty awesome. We're going to go out from here. If you're speaking Spanish, amen. If you're speaking Tongan, amen. If you're speaking Japanese, amen. But in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, speak love. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen. Amen.